Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Well, this morning I want to continue on our three-part series, which we started last week, entitled In Sync with God. And last week at the close of the sermon, I asked you the question, the doctor is in, what are you going to do? God has been doing something in every single person in this room this morning. Do you believe that? You truly believe that God has been doing something in your life? Perfect. There is something that he has us waiting for before he actually activates it. There's probably been times where we've been sitting in the waiting room and wondering, God, why am I here? What is the purpose? For some, in that waiting room, you may have been going through some struggles or you may have been suffering with a lot of pain, and I don't know if you're like me, but if you've ever been in the waiting room and you're just keeled over in pain and you're thinking to yourself, oh God, if you take this pain away, I promise that I will. Have you ever made one of those promises when you've been in the waiting room? Take it away and I will do this. Fix my car and I promise I will. Bring my son or daughter back and I promise I will. I know that there have been times when I have been in extreme pain with gout, that I make all sorts of promises. Oh God, cut this toe off, do something to this toe, I promise I will do this. But there are times when we're sitting in the waiting room and we know exactly what areas of our life need to be changed. However, the question is, are we prepared to make those changes? For example, as I just said, I have actually suffered with gout for 23 years. 5 years ago, it got so bad that they finally referred me to a gout specialist, which I never knew existed. You hear of all sorts of specialists, and apparently there's a gout specialist. And his remedy to me was that I had to start taking this one-a-day pill. And I don't like being on medication simply because I often forget to take the medication. So naturally, I started to look for alternative ways to get past this. So what did I do? As I learned last week, many of you do the same thing. You turn to the gospel of Google. You turn to that, and then you from there you go for that, you turn to the book of second opinions. Google showed me what it is that I should be doing. It taught me that if I make some lifestyle changes, I'm going to trip up in these cords. It taught me that if I make some lifestyle changes, change the things that I'm eating and all those sorts of things, then it would go away. And the truth is that it went away. I had suffered. There was a season where I went from December the 4th to July 15th without any relief from gout. I had it in two toes and a knee. Has anybody else here ever had gout? You know the pain of gout. When you have it, literally, I'd wake up in the morning and I'd have to walk to the bathroom this way because I couldn't even bend my toes or bend my knee. So anyway, I made these changes that Google told me that I should do, and the pain went away. And I walked into my doctor's office and I was feeling so great, and he asked me, he says, how are things going? I said, I am 100% pain-free. And so then I proceeded to say to him, can you please check my last blood work and tell me what my uric acid levels are at? Confident that he was going to tell me, oh man, you've got them way down, everything is great. He let me know, he says, your levels are still at an extreme high. For gout to be in the body, it's somewhere around the 400 is the level. I was at 700. So I had a lot of inflammation in my body. And I couldn't understand. I said, why? What's going on? I haven't had any pain. He says, it's true that you haven't had the pain, but the gout is still lying dormant in your body. And he then helped me to understand that, yes, the lifestyle change, yes, the change of diet, all of these things helped, but you still need the medication to bring down the levels. He explained to me how to get it fixed, how to get it corrected. So for me, in that moment, the doctor, or God actually, I believe, gave the doctor wisdom to know what it, or to share with me what it is that I had to do. And I had a choice to make. Do I take his advice, or do I simply disregard it? God had downloaded this advice to me, and it was up to me to now activate the download. Once the download has been completed, what is generally the next step? We talked about last week the download. What is it that God has been speaking into your heart? You know what he's been challenging you on. You know what he has you in the waiting room of life for. So once the download has been completed, it's now time to start the installation process. This is the time, and you've probably seen this, where you get all sorts of little blurbs come across your screen, and you just simply click okay, okay, yes, yes, I agree, yes. But before you even get to that stage, if you're downloading something on your computer, it will ask you to sign up. It wants your name, it wants your information, it wants your email address. You need to create an account. How many of you, when you're installing something on your computer, you actually have an alias account? Do you actually use your regular account, or do you have a separate email address that you use for things that you don't want to get all sorts of notifications on? Anybody else like that? I've got like two or three emails, and usually it's a matter of trying to remember what the password is for each one. But I use this, why? Because I don't want my inbox to be filled with all sorts of notifications. Now, on a side note, I just want to take an opportunity to share this with you. Over this past few weeks, I've been getting a lot of notifications coming into my Facebook account. And I just want to let you know, A, I love every single one of you, and I am so happy to be here. And I want to have a relationship with you, but I want our relationship to be a face-to-face relationship. Yes, I have a Facebook account, but I actually limit it to my family and to my high school friends, people that I can't see on a regular basis, all right? So if you send me a friend request, or if you have sent me a friend request, please know that when I hit decline, I do it with love, all right? So I'll just save you that, oh, he really doesn't like me. Why doesn't he want to be my friend? I'm actually the most boring person that you'll ever see on Facebook. I don't have Twitter. I don't have Instagram. I do not do a lot in the way of social media. I have my family. They let me know where people are and what's going on and all those. And sometimes this person was over here. It's like, well, how do you know that? Oh, Facebook, Instagram, all these pictures. So anyway, okay, do we have that all clear? You all good? You still love me even though I'll decline your request? Okay, perfect. So, you know what God has spoken into your heart. You know what it is that he's downloaded to you. The question is, are you trusting him? Last week, we looked at the story of Abram and Sarah. They had received a word from the Lord that they were going to have a family. God spoke, and he made covenant with Abram. It appears to me, as we read the story, though, that Sarah was a little unsure of this word. Let's pray. Father, as we go into your word this morning, I know and I believe that you are going to bring things to light in our own lives. You're going to speak into our hearts. I pray that you would illuminate that to us, but not just for something that we say, oh, yeah, that's a good word, but God, that it would be a word that you are activating in us and that we are prompted to do something with. God, it would be that download process leading us to taking action on it. So God, open up our hearts, open up our ears to hear what you want to say to us this morning. We ask this in your name. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 16, and we're going to continue on in the story that we started last week. Last week we looked at chapter 15. This week we're going to look at starting at verse 1 of chapter 16. And it says this, "Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children." Okay, just hit pause there for a second. So think about the word that we spoke about last week that had been given to them, that they were going to have this family. So thinking about this word, to me, this would be very tough. She hears the word that God has spoken into Abram's heart about being the father to many. Meanwhile, she hasn't been able to give him a child. Continuing on. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said to Abram, "Behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children." So what I hear in this is that I know that you are saying that God has spoken this to you, but obviously something is off. I have not been able to give you any children. I'm not sure we should be trusting this downloaded word that you have received. Sarah obviously believes she needs to come up with another plan, so she starts to look for another source. Continuing on, she says, "Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarah. Pause again. Abram made the choice of listening to the voice of Sarah. Who is the one that spoke the word into his heart in the beginning? But he's choosing to listen to the voice of Sarah, not the voice of God. Continuing on. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. Hitting pause again. The hard part of this for Sarah was probably realizing that she may be the reason that God's word did not come to pass. Hagar obviously got pregnant by Abram. What may have went through Sarah's mind in this particular moment? So continuing on, it says, "And Sarah said to Abram, 'May the wrong done to me be on you.'" Sarah didn't want to own up to her own choice. She didn't want to own up to the choice that she made. So what does she do? She throws all of the blame onto Abram. This is your fault. Continuing on, it says, "I gave my servant to your embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me." But Abram said to Sarah, "Behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please." Then Sarah dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her. When things didn't go her way, or she felt that it was impossible, she attempted to take matters into her own hands. This wasn't God's plan. She simply needed to trust in God's plan. So as I'm reading this story, and I'm reading about Hagar, I'm thinking about her. She's kind of like the Alias account. Sarah wanted the benefits of the spoken word, but I don't know if she truly trusted the source of the download of this word. For Sarah, it was like she wanted to believe that God had spoken to her husband, but she just didn't have that confidence. Perhaps she thought, "I've never been able to get pregnant by him. How is it that this is going to come to pass?" Sometimes I wonder if she didn't believe God and wanted to prove a point. "Okay, Abram, you believe this is what God is asking, but it's not happening. Go then and lay with Hagar." I wonder, though, if in the back of her mind, she's thinking and hoping that Hagar wouldn't get pregnant. So then she's able to come to say that she would be able to make her point. "There you go, old man. You can't get anyone pregnant. So how is this supposed to happen?" But what do we read in the story? Hagar conceives a child. All of a sudden, Sarah may have realized, "Oh my goodness, maybe it's me. Maybe I need to have a little bit more faith. God can cause this to happen. Maybe I should be listening more." The one thing that I do know is that God's word was going to come to pass. God's plan, or in those moments we have a choice. Are we going to be a part of God's plan, or are we going to abandon his plan and do our own thing? The one thing that I have confidence in is that God's plan is going to come to pass. Do you believe that? So the question is, do we want to be a part of his plan or do we want to abandon it? He might be calling you to a specific thing and you're saying, no, it's too hard. You know what? He's still going to cause that thing to happen, whether it's through you or through somebody else. But I would like to be a part of his plan. I'd like to be doing what he's calling me to do. Sometimes we want something so bad that we will do whatever it takes to get us there. Then, as we take matters into our own hands, we start to have this video playback syndrome. Have you ever had one of those conversations where you've been hanging out with friends and you say something and it just comes out of your mouth and it's like, oh my goodness, why did I say that? Or you get home and you start texting, I'm really sorry, that was such a stupid thing for me to say. Can you please forgive me? I did not mean that. But the thing is, sometimes the person hasn't even thought about it, but we ourselves, we know the words that come out and it just wreaks havoc on us. In the sale of our home, we have done exactly that. We believed, and we continue to believe, that God is going to sell our house. And as I shared last week, I had all of my ducks lined up in a row. I had everything lined up. I even went so far as having things lined up before I even came here in June. I already had a realtor picked out. I had settled on the realtor that I felt would be best. I basically had two options that I was looking at. And I thought, you know, this person is the one that I think I should go with, but I'm going to go in this direction instead. And the reason is I thought, okay, he's young, he's eager, he's motivated, he's going to do all of these things. I should go with him. But the eagerness and all of the motivation ended once he got the contract. And then God started to open our eyes. This is the direction that you wanted to go. Okay? All right, I took matters into my own hands. I made a mistake. Soon as that contract ended, I severed ties with this guy peacefully, let him know exactly why, and then went in this direction. And now we have a new realtor. But I had two options, because I will be the first to admit that when it came time to sell our house, I had a little bit of an arrogant confidence. I believed that God was going to sell our home in 10 days. I even spoke that out, despite what the market was saying, despite that the fact that the average time on home or average home on the market was 72 days. No, my God was going to show up and he was going to show off and he was going to do this in 10 days. The question is, was I hearing from God? Did God tell me that the house would sell in 10 days? No, but my emotions wanted me to believe he did. Attempting to put the word prophetic in front of a word which is actually a sympathy word can be quite dangerous. And what do I mean by that? A sympathy word comes from human hearts. Many of us have had somebody close to us get sick or be in a lot of trouble. In those moments, it is so easy to think that we are hearing from God, but it really is the voice of our emotions. I personally know of individuals that have been given a word of prophecy saying that they would be healed, or the barren couple being promised a baby. In many of these cases, it was emotion speaking and not the voice of God. There were times that it was the voice of God, but the unfolding of the story was not at all like they imagined. So it's easy to put that adjective prophetic in front of a word that is not the voice of God. Many people have taken these prophetic words and used them as the gospel truth without even lining them up with what God is speaking into their hearts. Anytime that I pray for somebody, and God gives me a word, and I believe it's from God, and I give it to them, and I share it with them, the one thing that I will always say to them is, please, take this word. Test it and approve it. It should line up with what God is already speaking into your heart. And if it doesn't, you need to disregard this, because you need to ensure that you're listening to the voice of God. And if God is giving it to me, I believe it's going to line up with what he is already planting in your heart. But so often, we'll go to a conference or we'll go somewhere and we'll receive this word and the person says, I have a prophetic word for you. It's important that we test it and approve it. Why? Because I've seen so many of these prophetic words become idols in a person's life. What do I mean when I say that it becomes an idol? When waiting on God for something, our prayer time can become consumed with our request. When walking through a tough time or a trying situation, we spend so much of our time in prayer focused on the situation that we don't even take the time to listen to what God is saying to us. Even for Kyle and I, we have had to exercise caution that when we go into our prayer time, that our entire prayer time is not taken up by praying for the sale of our house. God knows what he's going to do. We commit it to God. That doesn't mean that I stop praying about it, but it doesn't take my entire prayer time. It's easy to go to our prayer time and become so focused on the need that's in front of us. We don't even pause to hear God's voice. We know what it is that God has downloaded into our hearts. We simply need to trust in him. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is a passage found in Philippians 4:4-7. And I do appreciate how Eugene Peterson worded this when he wrote the message, and I want to share that with you. The same passage. It says this: celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the master is about to arrive. He could show up at any minute. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. I read a statement one time that says, worrying is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. As I shared last week, we become weary in the waiting. Are you trusting the source of the download and believing that he is going to bring it to pass? Or are you going to download an app that looks like the one that you should be downloading, but it's not attached to the program, simply because, well, I just need to get things going? There are many apps that claim to be the one you need or look like the one associated with the program, but it's important that we trust the proper source. Imitated, but never duplicated. The promise made to Abram was for him and Sarah, not Abram and Hagar. Are you trusting the word that he spoke, or are you testing it by using an alias? So here's three questions that I want us to look at this morning in light of this story. And as I encouraged you last week, if you have started a notepad, great. If you haven't, why don't you start one right now? Open your phone. These are three questions that I'd like for you to jot down to think about and reflect as you think about the word that God is downloading in your heart. The first one is this: what matter am I taking into my own hands? The day that we accepted the call that we knew that God was going to look after us. Instantly, the questions started to come. So what are you going to do about the house? What are you going to do if the house doesn't sell? What's your backup plan? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Has the house sold? So many questions. I finally started telling people, you know what? Trust me, you'll know when the house sells because you'll be able to hear me scream all over the Comox Valley. So trust me, you'll know. There were all sorts of questions that came our way, and they served as seeds of fear. And some days, it actually got quite overwhelming. I remember times where people were just coming with questions and coming with questions, and I'm thinking to myself, please stop, please stop, please stop. And I would actually shut down in the conversation because, like, I can't take any more questions. And God gave me a picture one morning. It was of a time when I was in Guatemala. And I remember the lady of the house walking outside her door. And she was there with a broom, and she was sweeping in front. And I'm thinking, it was odd to me at first because this is a mud path, right? And she's going out and she's sweeping. What was she doing? She was going out and sweeping up all of the debris that had fallen through the night, all of the leaves, all of the stuff, the seedlings that had fallen. She was just going out and cleaning up the area where she was. And in that moment, God said, every single morning, you need to go out with your broom and you need to sweep away all of those seeds of fear that people have planted in you as a result of the questions. Because that's what it was doing, is that every time a question would come, it was like a little seed of fear. And he reminded me, you need to trust in the word that I have given to you and believe that it is going to come to pass. Is it going to look how you think it's going to look? No. Are you going to trust in me? Yes. So every morning, I have to sweep those seeds of fear away. Sarah saw that she was barren. There must have been some belief in her heart regarding the word of the Lord. Why else would she strive to cause this to come to pass? If she didn't believe it, she wouldn't try and do something about it. However, we need to know that when we trust God, that it doesn't give us the license to take matters into our own hands. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. In your situation, you've probably even told God all of the ways that he can cause this to come to pass. And as I said last week, I know that God is able to do it. In your situation, I know that God is able to do it. It's his plan. Don't try and come up with all of these other plans of how to do it. Trust in God's plan. If God says he will do it, we need to believe that he's going to do it. Does it mean that we stop praying? Absolutely not. It is important, though, that our prayer does not become an idol and the only thing that we focus on. When Jesus taught us to pray, he didn't teach us to focus on our needs. First and foremost, he says, acknowledge who he is. Our Father. That's how he taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven. And then we ask for his will to be done. It doesn't say in that passage, Chad's will be done, Vaughn's will be done, Sharon's will be done. It says, his will be done. Second question, what may be the consequences of taking matters into your own hands? If I don't do exactly what God asks me to do, does that mean he's going to give up on me? Does it? I don't believe you're convinced. First, God says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. His hand will be upon us wherever it is that we go. Second, why would you even consider not doing things the way that God wants you to do them? Why would we even give that a consideration? Whose ways are perfect? Whose ways are just? Whose ways do we trust? I know it seems like it's a childish thing to do, but sometimes our heart needs to be reminded of who is in control. So why would you want to take matters into your own hands? How many parents do we have in the room? Have your children always done exactly what you've asked them to do? Really, we have no perfect children in the room. So when they went against what you had instructed, did you stop loving them? Did you write them off? Were there consequences for their actions? Why do we think that it's any different with God? The prayer starts out, "Our Father," which means what? I'm his child. If I do something wrong, if I don't do what he asked me to do, are there going to be consequences? Sometimes is there a little bit of discipline involved? Does it mean that he all of a sudden stopped loving me? Exactly. In those times where you did take matters into your own hands, or you may even be reaping the consequences of your decisions, what are you doing with those consequences? It's not too late to activate the download. We need to come back to the source of the download. We simply come, we apologize, we ask for forgiveness, and we move forward. And what did I say when we ask God for forgiveness? When does he do it? Immediately. He doesn't say, well, you're going to have to go and you're going to have a two-week grounding and then we'll talk about it. And I'll let you know if I'm going to forgive you. No, he forgives us immediately. Our Father loves us. He wants the best for us. He has great things in store. He is a good, good Father. So in closing, you know the word that God has been downloading into your heart. God has been preparing you for the next step. The question is, have you started to take the steps of activation? The diagnosis has been made. It's surgery day. Are we going to trust the doctor? Are we going to trust the great physician to perform the work that needs to be done? You've explored other options. You looked for other ways to get relief, other ways to get healing, other ways to get strength. The world will offer you all sorts of options. We don't need the gospel of Google. We need the gospel of Jesus Christ at work in our lives. Do you believe that? Are you trusting the source of your download? Where is your heart? Are you in sync with God? Father, you know exactly what it is that you have been speaking into every single heart here in this place. I know what it is that you've been speaking into my heart. Do we trust you? Is our confidence in you? Are we believing that you are going to bring it to pass? Noah knew the word that you had spoken into his heart. You even showed him all of the things that he needed to do in preparation. And this went on for years. But he continued to trust in you. And Father, we need to continue to trust in you. We need to trust in you. As an act of surrender this morning, as a step of faith, as Vaughn spoke at the very beginning today, we need to take that step of faith. Right across this place, just for the next few moments, you know what it is that God has been downloading in your heart. And he's asking you that question, are you trusting me? I'm going to invite you to stand. And as you hold out your hands or raise your hands or hold them here, whatever is most comfortable for you, in your heart, make a commitment to God and say, God, I am going to trust in you. And just as an act of obedience, as an act of surrender, as a declaration of faith, God, here it is. I'm not taking it into my own hands. It's held in my hands saying, show me what it is that you want me to do. So let's declare that this morning. God, you are perfect in all of your ways. God, we hold it up to you. And we say, it's yours. I don't need to know the hows. I don't need to know the whys. I don't need to know the whens, the wheres, anything about it. God, one thing I am confident of is the word that you have spoken into my heart. God, I pray that that same confidence is right across this room this morning. That they are confident in the word that you have spoken into their hearts. And that they would say, God, not my will, but your will be done. It may not look the way that I want it to look. But God, I trust in your ways. Why? Because you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You're a good, good Father. You love us. You're watching over us. You're caring for us. You have great things in store for every single one of us. We give you the praise. We give you the praise. For the next few moments, as always, we have a team of people who want to pray with you. If you have to go, you're welcome to go. If you want to stay, please come forward. Maybe God is asking you to take that step of faith and say, you need to go and have somebody else agree with you and join with you in that word that I have spoken into your heart. Take the step of faith this morning. God bless you. We will see you next week. And I know that God's hand and his face will continue to shine upon you. God bless you.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.